It's good to be here. It's good to be in the house again. It's good to be home. And I just want to say that you as a church, you did it right. I'm telling you, you did it right. Because when my husband died, you allowed me to stay through the transition to Pastor Steve, but also the transition of the music, which was different from the hymns and whatever. And I'll tell you why I know it's right. Because when I was here, I would go downtown. I'd be in Walmart's, or I'd be in the Carlisle Diner, or I'd be at the gas station. And the different pastors, Brethren in Christ, Methodist pastor, Brethren in Christ, would come up to me and say, "We have all been watching how that church has taken care of you." And they've all said to me, "They did it right." So I'm telling you, you were watched. You did it right in the transition for me, but also over the transition in what you were going through as well. Because it wasn't only me grieving, you were all too. I mean, it was such a shock to all of us. And so I just want to say thank you, because you did it right. And I don't even know if these pastors are here in the area, but we all know that many times when the senior pastor dies, the wife is out on the front step with her sofa waiting to go to who knows where. And they all watched what you did. They all watched how you loved me. They all watched how you helped me transition, as well as you transitioning through into the new. So I say thank you, because you did it right. And I don't know if those pastors are still here, but I'm telling you, it made an impact that wherever they go, they'll know how to do it right. Hallelujah. Because of your example. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can you put this here on the overhead, please? This, as soon as Pastor called me and texted me and said, you know, would you be free? Would you be able to come? This is the immediate scripture that jumped into my head. Okay. It's called "Be strong and courageous, for the Lord is with you wherever you go." Now, you all know that he's with you wherever you go. That's a given. That's a no-brainer. But what I had heard the Lord speak to me was, in the coming years, with the culture the way it is, like, we don't know if we're a man or a woman. We have bathrooms that are who knows what. When I was down south, I had a clip come through on my phone about this woman that was so upset with the school system because her child identified themselves as a cat. And the school did not recognize that child as being a cat. And this is for the years to come. Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord is with you wherever you go. Because we're going to be walking into really dark times coming down the road. Our children and our grandchildren, it's like, but remember this scripture, the Lord is with you, and we're going to have to be strong and we're going to have to be courageous. Sometimes we may ever have to stand alone to protect our children and that there. So that was the scripture that the Lord immediately dropped into my heart, and I just wanted to share. So for the coming years, just mark that in your Bible, and when you come up against whatever you come up against, the thing. So this morning, I want to talk about wells. Did you put the scriptures on for the overhead? Okay. I want to talk about wells this morning. John 7:37-38. Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." You all quote that all the time. John 4:14. Jesus said to the woman at the well, "But the water I shall give shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You all quote that scripture as well. Proverbs 10:11. Aha. The mouth of a good person is a deep, life-giving well. But the mouth of the wicked is a dark cave of abuse. Proverbs says in 13:14, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, so no more drinking from death-tainted wells. So we have a well of water flowing out of us. So my question is, who is sitting and drinking at your well? My mother, who just died recently at 95, she taught a ladies' Bible study until she was 90 years old. And during the week, and there was probably 15, 25 ladies there. During the week, she would also teach the lesson because she had Korean ladies come because their language, it was difficult for them to understand, so they could have a one-on-one. So there was about three or four, and then there was also Filipino women. My mother says, I don't understand why these people are coming. I said, Ma, there's a river, there's a well of water they'll come and drink at. You're too old to go to the nations, and she's been to all the nations just about there is. I said, you're too old to go there, so he's bringing them to you. And will sit at your well. I don't care how old you are. God can bring them to you. And you will sit and they will drink at your well. People will come to a clean water and well and drink. If the water is tainted or muddy or unclean, no one will drink from that well. Now, when I lived in New York in Canastota, they had sulfur water. You know when you turn the tap on, the water smelled like sulfur. They drank coffee with sulfur in it. They drank tea with sulfur. Their ice cubes. It's like, I never got used to. They all drank it and didn't think anything of it. But see, that's tainted water. They got used to it, but I just never did. Does clean, clear water flow from our well? How many people are sitting at our life's well? If you have no one, then you need to check your well. What are the contaminants that are surrounding your well that taint your water? Who are you listening to that has a complaining mouth pouring into your well, a criticizing mouth pouring into your well, a comparing attitude dumping toxic waste of how it should have or could have or would have been, or a bitter spirit and unforgiven pouring into your well? See, all these contaminants will taint your water and maybe pull you into a conversation of complaining and criticizing and comparing. And then you will respond with, yeah, I think so too. That's the wrong answer. That's the wrong conversation to have. So I want to look at three wells in the scriptures today. And you're all very familiar with them, so I don't have to read the scripture to you. You all are very familiar with these wells. In Genesis chapter 16, verses 4 through 14, called the Well of Beer Lahairoi. You all know the scripture. Sarah was barren, did not have a child. So she said, well, we'll have a child. I'll give you my handmaiden, Hagar. So then Hagar gets pregnant, and she then is, her and Sarah are fussing and fussing and fussing and fussing. So she goes to Abraham, and Abraham says, you deal with it. That's your problem. And it says in the scripture that Sarah was very hard on Hagar. And so she ran away with the seed of Abraham within her. She was in the wilderness at the well of Beer, which means him that liveth and seeth me. Him that liveth and seeth me. So those of you who are on the run, or your children, or a spouse, or your grandchildren, or your loved ones who are on the run from God, and they have been seated with God's word in them, God will meet them in the wilderness, wherever they are. Keep praying, because God will meet them at the well of him that liveth and seeth me. Beer Lahara. Don't give up praying for them. They've already been seated, just like Hagar was seated with the seed of Abraham. And you know that they had 12. Ishmael became the father of 12 tribes. And we know that the angel spoke to them in verse 11 and told them the child, what his name was. He was going to be a wild man. We're still dealing with Ishmael today. Still today. And at that well, I believe that your loved one will find God and God himself and destiny. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that this morning? For those that have been seated with the Word of God and are wherever they are, in the wilderness somewhere. I believe that. The next well is in Genesis 21 and Genesis 26, which are Abraham's wells of Beersheba. Now, that means the wells of oath. And Abraham dug wells. And in 26:18 says, the Philistines stopped them up and filled them with the debris. Listen to me. The enemy of our life wants to steal and kill and destroy and fill in our wells. Steal your relationship with God, kill your anointing on your life, and destroy your destiny. In chapter 26, Abimelech was the king of the Philistines. And first of all, he built the well of Esek, which means contention and strife. And then Abraham dug another well, which was the well of Sitnah, which means opposition and accusation. And then he built in 22 the well of Rehoboth, where you have made room for us. And then the well of Sheba, which is the well of oath. See, there are times in our lives when the Philistines will come and try to fill in and stop the wells, just like in Abraham's day. The well of Esek, contention is right. Some of us have experienced a season of contention and strife in our lives, and it has brought us to a place of silence, and no water is flowing. Some of us have gone through the well of Sitnah, of opposition and accusation. And some of us experience a season of opposition in our lives. And that has brought us to a place of silence. And no water is flowing. Then there's the well of Rehoboth, where God has made room for you. Allow God to make room for you and walk freely in your flowing, in your giftings and ministry. See, when the enemy sees the blessing of God on your life and on your work and on your family, he will come and try to fill in your well and stop the water flowing to others. And the enemy comes to clog our wells with debris from busyness, 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 busyness. We're just so busy, there's no water flowing. Or ambition, or hobbies, or financial, or health issues, or trauma, or even sin. And to try to clog the flow from your well and make you silent. Make you silent. Who or what has filled your wells? See, contaminated water is different from filling your wells. Contaminated water smells bad, and the words you're speaking are a mixture of whatever the contaminants are. Your words are mixed with bitterness, complaining, whining, but filled in wells have no water flowing. They are stuck, they are silent, they are immobile because the junk that has been thrown into them, you have shut down and you are quiet. You are disillusioned and depressed and or discouraged with people and what has happened around you. Isaac redug his father's well. See, there is a generational well There are generational wells. Generational meaning your parents before you, or your church father and mother before you, your living generation you are serving at the present. You can choose to redig the well before you and get the junk out, renounce, reboot, clean the building, clean out the stuff, pray, worship, singing, and start the water flowing again. We can redig and clean out the wells, clean out the past and get a fresh word for the future. Don't allow people to come and dump past junk into your well. All sorts of past information into you and your. Do not sit and listen. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in. Don't walk with them and listen to them. Don't stand alongside them and let them pour vile information into you. And don't sit at a table and eat with them and let them contaminate your whole family. Listen to me. Redig the wells that have been filled with junk and debris. As I said, it says that the Philistines became envious of God's work and blessing and provision in Abraham and in Isaac's life and tried to fill in the waters and stop. The enemy becomes envious when you are flowing in your gifting, when you are flowing in your, and he will try and fill in your well to stop what you are saying. To stop what you are saying. We can dig again and God can restore those wells of water. Isaac dug again the wells of Beersheba and they are still flowing today. This is a generational well. You have generational family wells in this house. Pastor Steve, Doris and Gibby were in church. Steve was in church. He then wanted a deeper relationship, went to Elam. He and Stacy, and they had all of his children and his grandchildren. That's a generational well. Kurt Kimmel, his grandparents, were such an influence and spoke into their life. His parents served God. Kurt is here today, and his son. That's a generational well. And you say, well, I don't have a generational well. Well, you're starting your generational well with your salvation and what you've come into and how God has used your life and move into your life. Start your generation well so it'll go to your children and your grandchildren and your so on. Absolutely. We can dig again and restore all those wells. And if the well is stopped because of the Philistines, the poor junk, then it's easy. Repent. You know Faith Dodge, her favorite saying is, repent quickly. Just repent quickly. Just do it. Not wait for the right service or the right songs or whatever. Just repent quickly and get the water flowing again and worship. The generational well. See, we don't realize the next generation needs to drink from that well. What God has processed within you, the journey that God has brought, you know the song Blessed Assurance, this is my story, this is my song. Listen, this is my story. What he has worked in my life, the journey that he has, this is my song. What I speak and what I say, the water that flows out of my mouth. Praising my Savior all the day long. Don't let the enemy stop the water flowing from this well. There are generations to follow, generations to follow. And it's our mandate to keep a generational well open. So then the last well I want to talk about is Jacob's well. And you all know the biblical story, how Jesus met the woman at the well. She was thirsty and needed destiny. Not just water, destiny. What did she say when she went, come and see a man who has shown me, and that's destiny in that woman's life, Jacob's well. Jesus can meet you at the well, at church, because you are thirsty for more of him. What is the name of the well you were saved at? Where did you go? Your home church is a life-giving water flowing. CLCC has a well of water flowing from it for 47 years. 35 pastors been here, and you've been drinking from his well. From this place, our water flows to the nations. Amen. It has for years. Amen. We're a global church. We help migrant workers, truckers, CSCC locally. We oversee women's conferences, youth camp, men's conferences in the region. People come from the nations and from the surrounding areas because of the water that is flowing from this house. You understand? You flow in giftings, you flow in word of knowledge, you flow in word of wisdom, you flow in the prophetic, and the water is flowing in this house. Because of your personal well and your vision, and the Lord has in this place, people come from various ministries. They don't personally say, give me a drink. They say, I'm going to be at your service. See, people from other churches come and sit at this well right here. When we had COPS, Circle of Promise, there was only 5 widows in our congregation. We had between 15 and 20 ladies there. There were widows from all around this area that came. And Tina Stum, Lori Stum, and Lynn Poorbaugh ran that ministry for years. And they had this huge spread of food that they sent home with them. Well, people say, well, you know, they just came because they wanted something to eat for free. Really? What did Jesus say in Matthew 25? When I was hungry, you fed me. See, you don't know when that Social Security check was coming in for those women. You don't know what day it would get here. You don't know when they would eat again or if they had. Some of them would take 2 things, containers of food home. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. They prayed over these women. They prayed with these women from all these churches around here. When I was naked, you clothed me. He said, well, they weren't naked. Listen, some people have been stripped of their dignity, stripped of their self-worth, stripped by trauma that's happened in their life. And they come here and you clothe them with kindness and love. And then Jesus said, when you were in prison, you visited me. You said, well, those women weren't in prison. Listen to me, Karen Sabatini can tell you. There are people that have been in prisons all the time, right here. Right here. For whatever's happened to them, they have a prison that they won't go out of or let anybody into. And yet they come here and you love on them and you bless them and you pray for them. Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Water flowing from this house. Don't be surprised who comes. See, it's not you. It's the life-giving water and the flowing from this well for 47. If you think it's because of you and your leadership and all that, that's too low of thinking. It's because the Holy Spirit has life-giving. The prophetic is flowing here. The word of knowledge is flowing here. Discernment is flowing here. The word of exhortation is flowing here in this house. You don't get that in other churches, I can tell you. But water is flowing here, and people will come from who knows where because of the water that's flowing. The woman at the well was caught up with ethnicity and cultural and political issues of the day. And today, people would like to get caught up with ethnicity, culture, political issues of the day. Just think of Trump and all this here. It's on the news all the time. And I am not political in any way, shape, or form. But people want to get you drawn into all this stuff. And so, but my question is water still flowing to others? Is our water clear and flowing water, not a mixture of cultural issues, of political issues, of ethnicity issues? Not a mixture. Is our water reaching before beyond the four walls? Is our water quenching the thirst of those who drink from it? And you'll know because people will call you and say, well, I know I just need to call you because I just need to talk to you because there's water flowing from your well, and they know who to call. We cannot allow the enemy to steal our relationship, kill the anointing, destroy the destiny that God has for here at Palmstown CLCC. Sorry, it was a slip. fill the well with debris. See, flow, you continually flow in your gifting. Get in worship every day. Stir up the gift that is in you. Speak in tongues. See, I have the house to myself because Victoria's gone, so I can talk as loud as I want. In the name of Jesus, Shabakasaliandalaborian. And I go all through the house. The dogs are like, the cats hide. Just worship and get the water flowing. Keep it flowing. Go out of your way to flow. Go out of your comfort zone to flow to others. Go out of your way to different places. See, go on a mission trip. When my husband didn't want anything to do, he says, let's go to Walmart. And I would say, we don't have to buy anything. He said, but there's people there. He'd find somebody. That could be your mission field. Go to Walmart. And there's a lot of people in Walmart that are really dressed strange. But see, let your well of water flow and your giftings freely flow. And don't be afraid. Throughout the coming years, let the coming years be years of continuing flowing and going. See, we look at the well of Beer Lahairoi, where those who are on the run from God, taking the scenic route, I always say, but they're seated with the word of God. And God will meet them when they cry out. I believe that. I believe that. If God can meet an Egyptian woman out in the desert, seated with Abraham's seed, then he can meet any of our children, our grandchildren, our siblings, or whoever is out there. Because they're seated with the word of God. The wells of Beersheba, Abraham's wells, generational well. The Philistines filled in the well and debris and tried to stop them. Isaac redug his father's wells again. We can redig those wells of life. We can redig those wells of ministry. We can redig those wells so that the water can flow again freely. And then the well of Jacob, thirsty for God, thirsty for more of what God has, thirsty for destiny. Jesus will meet you at your personal well or your church well, regardless of ethnicity, culture, political issues of the time. And Jesus will give life flowing water. See, we have to remember that the world outside is a wilderness place. And it's getting to be a desert place. And it's getting drier and drier. And people don't have answers. God will bring people who are thirsty and who are cast down and who are fearful of heart and broken of heart. Like the woman at the well, give me water. I just need something to drink. I need a word from God. And you grab them in the aisle and you begin to pray. You begin to speak into their life. You begin to give them a prophetic word. And that's life-giving for them. That's what they needed to hear. CLCC, keep the water flowing. Keep out any debris that would try and clog the flow. Continue to be that well. See, God has pure water that he wants flowing from you personally and from CLCC. Remember the scripture, the mouth of a good person is like a deep giving well. It says the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. So in the coming days and the end times and the culture, as it gets darker and people will become more dry and more thirsty. More, and there's no prophetic flowing in many of these churches. They go to church because they want to hear from God. So they hear a liturgy or they hear whatever. But what they need is the prophetic. They need the living water. They need the gifting spoken into their life freely. Continue to seek God. Position and posture and present yourselves before God. Allow the gifts to flow freely in this house because they are life-giving. Continue to flow into the nations. Continue to participate and flow in other ministries like men's ministries, like women's ministries, like youth ministry, like youth camp. And you think, it's just another. There's life flowing from here. There's life flowing in you. There are giftings that you flow out into their life. Speak into their life. Speak into their life. Be that provision of water for them. Be that provision of water, both individually, but corporately from this house. Be that provision of water for them. Be that provision of, for others to drink from you. I just had an example. I'm flying here. So I'm in Atlanta. I get on the plane to fly to Harrisburg. This lady sits beside me. I figure she's around Margaret's age. Chatty Cathy. So wonderful, because if Al was here, they would have taken over the whole plane. But anyway, she sat there. And she said, you're going to Harrisburg. She said, are you going home? And I said, well, in a way. I said, but I'm going there. She says, well, where are you going to? And I said, well, I said, Newville, Pennsylvania. She says, really? She says, my business partner, Patrick Sutton, has the billiards barn, whatever that is, in Newville. I said, really? So she's on the phone to her business partner, and she says, I have this lady sitting beside me, and she's going to Newville. And so anyway, he says, well, what's your name? And I said, what's your name? I said, Karen Ham. He says, well, I don't know about any Hams. I said, do you know the Eisenbergs? Everybody knows the Eisenbergs. I said, do you know the Eisenbergs? And she says, you mean Wayne and Sandy? And she said, do you mean Wayne and Sandy? And I said, yeah. I said, I'm having lunch with them tomorrow. She said, really? So then he said, well, I graduated with Jason Eisenberg on the phone. And I said, my daughter graduated with Suzanne Peffer and Jason Eisenberg. And he says, Cam, you don't mean Margaret Ham, do you? And I said, yeah, she's my daughter. And he said, oh, she was really smart. So we got to, you know, he hung up and so on and so forth. And then the plane took off. And then this lady just began to pour out. So I said to her, I said, can I pray with you? She's from the E Free Church on West something. So E Free West. So I said, oh.
West Shore.
Yes, that's it, West Shore E Free. So I said, oh, okay. I said, that's a big church. She said, yeah. She said, we go there every Sunday. So I said to her, I said, can I pray for you? She said, sure. So I leaned over to her ear and I began to pray. The blessing of God. The word of the Lord just came. And she says, she said, and I'm whispering it in her ear, so you know the rest of the plane's not hearing it. She says, man, am I energized to go home. Listen, I don't care if you're in an airplane with 300 people in the plane. It doesn't matter. When somebody starts to pour out to you and pour out to you and pour out to you, then you say, all right, Lord, what is it that you want to say to them? See, there's free water flowing from this house, and it has been for 47 years and 35 with Pastor here. Be that provision of water for people that are coming. CLC, be that well for the others and for the nations. Marty, can you come? I just want her to play. There's an old song. Probably some of you may know, some of you may not. But it's called There Is a River That Flows From Deep Within. So how do you get water? As you stand in his presence and say, Lord, I just want to receive the water that you have. And just fill us and fill us and fill us. So I asked her if she would play that. There's a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. There, come to these waters. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. So if you want to be filled afresh this morning with fresh living water, just open up to God as she plays and say, Lord, I just refill. Refill. Let this water just come. And I am a recipient of all that you have. So let's just listen. Fill us, Lord. Fill us to overflowing with fresh, clean water, I pray. Fill us this morning, each and every one that's open. Let the water flow freely from our personal well from this house. And Lord, Holy Spirit, unclog whatever wells that have been silenced by the enemy. Micah said, I will arise. Let your saints arise this morning where they have fallen into despair and discouragement and disappointment. We receive this morning fresh water. We receive fresh water this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, there was a thirsty woman who was drawing from a well. Her life was ruined and wasted. Her soul was bound for hell. Then she met the Master, who told of her great sin. And if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again.